This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano, or pick up bass guitar, or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here to continue our draft countdown series tonight. A great one for you tonight. The wide receiver group with the great Jason Smith of Huddle It Up Films. Jason, how you doing?
Oh, you're too kind, Ken. Thank you, man. I'm looking forward to this every year. Get to come on and compare lists. So I'm looking forward to learning something. That's what I get every time I come on with you, is to learn something new. Give me something. Challenge me. Make me go back, watch the tape. That's why I love these shows.
Me too. And I'm sure you're going to come up with two names that I even haven't looked at yet. Maybe in your honorable mentions, possibly even in your top 10. That's happened basically almost every single show. There's been somebody that nobody included in their top 10 that all of a sudden shows up.
Yeah, I will say, I was a little disappointed in you with the Jalen Rivers, the guard with the long arms. I was a little disappointed in you, Ken. I thought you'd be all over him. I actually like him a lot. It's injury stuff with him, but not the sideshow or side.
Did you have him in your top 10 of interior?
Yeah, he's up there, man. He's up there. I'd have to go back and look, but he's one of those guys I'm targeting if he makes it to day three, because he's got that tackle experience. He's got the long arms. I think he translates well to guard, like the Senior Bowl. There was a lot with Rivers.
All right. Well, fair enough. I tell you what, looking at the IDLs and arm length there, I feel sorry for interior offensive linemen all across the NFL for the influx of players coming in who are massively long, have the advantage of going one arm longer than two whenever they feel like it. And a lot of them can cross the face of the guard like we haven't seen in a while. So it's a great group on the DL.
Ken, wasn't it? It's just so usually you have to squint to see more than five of them. And this year when I studied them, I think I went to like 25, 26. Yep. Like yep. They kept coming out looking like Ravens. Like bigger, long, pass rush upside. It wasn't just like, the last five guys I looked at are just nose tackles. There'll be plenty of them. It was an amazing class.
Yeah, end of the COVID bubble. No matter what you're looking for, if you're looking for a 3, a 5, a 4-3 end, which we really would include in the edges anyway, there's all of them are available in this draft. Certainly lots of nose tackles and lots of really good pocket pushing nose tackles. But let's get back to the wide receivers, because that's what we're here for. I'm sure everybody, you know, saw the wide receiver show is excited that we're talking about skill position players, because they tend to be more popular than others. First thing we always do on the show is go through the Ravens' current situation. So, interesting set of circumstances here. Big breakout year from Rashad Bateman, 10.5 yards per target was the highest ever for a Ravens receiver. Also set the record for a Ravens receiver in terms of touchdown percentage as a percentage of targets, which was excellent. So very much used as a deep threat, used as a guy in the red zone. Exciting. Flowers is back. That tandem is not in any way challenged for the 1 and 2 in whatever order you put them, the 1 and 2 receiver on the Baltimore Ravens, including by the newcomer DeAndre Hopkins. What do you think about Hopkins this year in terms of kind of what role he'll fill?
I like him as far as to complement what we already have. Mm-hmm. So if something happens with the tight ends and we need a bigger slot, we're not using Likely in the slot as much for whatever reason, he goes down or what have you. Hopkins just gives us a different skill set, and one that I've been wanting for Lamar, which is just somebody that you can trust with a long track history of being able to go up and get the ball. Great hands. Contested catch guy, a veteran enough to be able to find the soft spot in zone. So I expect Hopkins to work the slot a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can move Zay in there. You can move Bateman around. So he gives you that kind of flexibility. But, you know, Zay and Rashad are great route runners. Hands are always going to be this or that. You're going to have to deal with a few drops from those guys. So to have a veteran like DeAndre Hopkins, big target, and with the soft hands, I like the way he matches. You know, I think that's a really good mix for this group of pass catchers.
Got Tez Walker coming back for year two. This is an important season for him to be active on game day all 17 weeks. If you know, assuming he's not hurt, then that might happen. Active on game day for every week he is healthy. Let me put it that way. Shouldn't be a healthy scratch for him. He should be playing special teams. He should be wanted to be on the field as the fourth receiver. In order to do that, he needs to play at a pretty high level. He needs to not lose his job to Tylan Wallace, which I think that all five of the receivers we named so far, including Wallace, Walker, Hopkins, and the big two, will be the active five. I do think the Ravens are going to draft a wide receiver as well. And how that guy works his way into playing time is going to be very interesting, because it's not automatic that they would have six guys active on a given week. So it will be a real question. But I will say this. I can easily foresee a roster of wide receivers where I want to see snaps for various reasons for every single player, not just they're keeping somebody fresh. But I do think that is a wonderful side benefit of having depth at wide receiver that the Ravens seem to have this year and may have to an even greater degree after the draft, is that they will have a fresh legs offense of the 2008 to 10-ish Saints type that is constantly running five new eligible receivers onto the field.
It's such a switch, isn't it, Ken? And it's a welcome switch. And, of course, we're staying away from the tight ends, but you add that to the group of pass-catching wide receivers, and you really have something here. It's just, you know, do we have a top five guy in the league that, you know, who's going to finish in the top five in yards? Probably not, but we have a ton of guys that can hurt you in different ways and find those mismatches on defense. And, you know, with Devontae Walker, I think it starts in training camp. I think, if you know, he's going to be one of those guys when you start doing training camp shows, Ken, that who is this training camp? You know, who needs this training camp the most? He would be up there because we know what Tylan can do. We know what the other three guys can do. Devontae Walker didn't get a chance to really show himself. Like you said, he needs to play on special teams if he wants to get active on game days, because Tylan definitely will be active on game days. You know that. And chances are with 11 picks, it's not going to hurt the Ravens to draft a sixth wide receiver, whether that's, you know, round seven or round three. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt them to bring somebody in to challenge for time.
Yeah, it's a very different situation if you draft him in round seven or round three. If you draft a guy in round even one, two, or three, any time on day one or two, and even in round four or five, if you put that guy in the practice squad, he's gone. Some other team will take him from you. So if you have a sixth or seventh round pick and it's much more speculative in terms of what you're getting and you're hoping for the best and maybe, you know, accepting some warts, then the other team is not going to necessarily know what you have, even from preseason film, to the point where they want to bring him onto their active roster. So they might not poach him from you. But with a higher round pick, and this is the Ravens' problem with tight end, is they can't really draft a tight end unless they clear a spot by making a trade. So I did want to talk specifically, though, about the interaction of tight end and wide receiver, because I think there's an interesting phenomenon that we could see occur here. The Ravens could really use a big body receiver, generally speaking. A backup X, I think, would be good. They've got Hopkins for this year who could fit into that role if Bateman were to miss time. And they've got Tez Walker, in theory, could fit into that role as well. I don't think he's maybe ideal for that role at the NFL level. I think there's other places you can put him that he'll help the roster, he'll help the team more. But they also, big bodied guys tend to get beaten out of playing time by tight ends that flex on this team. So if you can't really, there's not room for really a big slot, and there are a couple of good big slots in this draft. I'm sure you know that, but this is a place where I think the Ravens may have a 2-year plan involved with a wide receiver they draft. He's obviously got to stay on the roster. He's got to be on the 53, but the Ravens tight end contracts all close out at the end of 2025, and they may not have it figured out exactly how they can get get all three of those guys to return. So if it's two, and if it's likely in Kohler in particular, if it's Andrews and Kohler for that matter, then they've got room all of a sudden for another wide receiver who can take some slot snaps.
No, it's something I've been thinking about too, because, you know, I think that they, you know, I've been sitting here in the last couple of weeks going on my quote unquote tour and talking on different shows and been asked a question about trading Mark Andrews. And I keep coming back to Kohler as a guy that they might want to reset during the draft, just get that blocking skill set tight end now and reset it and give Charlie a chance to spread his wings and fly as what he was drafted to do, which is that big slot. But yeah, you're looking at either way, you're going to have to turn over the tight end room next year, whether that means re-signing Likely, which maybe we differ in opinions there, but I think that Likely is on the short list with Tyler and Kyle to stay long-term and be that security blanket for Lamar. But yes, more 11 personnel is where you're going with this.
Yep.
To have the receivers. And again, receivers such an expensive position, a premium position, that if you have six of them, that's fine. If something happens to Rashad and, you know, you move on from DeAndre Hopkins next year and, you know, maybe the wide receiver group pops so much that you don't invest in Zay. You know, you invest it in Linderbaum and Kyle and Likely and, you know, the other guys that are, going to be coming up for contracts. So, yeah, I don't know when the Ravens will select a receiver, whether it'll be one of those guys you're talking about in round seven where, you know, maybe he can make it to the practice squad because he's not coveted by other people. But I could also see them going earlier than that and saying, look, this guy can also play special teams. So, you know, instead of activating four running backs and having Rasheen Ali as our, you know, our fourth running back, returning kicks, covering kicks, maybe we can just do that with the receiver position. We'll activate all six.
Right. And that certainly could be if you get the special teams contribution you want from those guys. So it can work. All right. So we'll go through, we're going to go through our usual format here of doing the top 10 countdown for each person. Jason's going to start us off. I didn't want to toss out two things at the beginning though. The first is that Travis Hunter was evaluated with cornerbacks. So each Jason and I both did not evaluate him for purposes of this wide receiver group. So obviously an unbelievably talented player, a great cornerback, I think could be a very good wide receiver as well. And a lot of our discussion on the cornerback show was about how many snaps do you limit him to per game? Is he an 80? Could he be an 85 or 90 snap a game guy? I really don't see that in the NFL. I think he'll be challenged more by the athletes opposite him. But what would be your take on that if you just want to give us 10 seconds on Travis Hunter here?
It's gonna be tough. I especially wouldn't do it considering the spot in which he's going. So in other words, he's going to a bad team who's not contending.
Right.
Like, you know, let him play corner. I had him evaluated as a corner before the year. It was the same as Champ Bailey. And some of the first draft work I got to do, Ken, was to look at Champ Bailey at Georgia. And I saw a lot of the similarities. I do think in today's game, wide receiver is more valuable. I think you're starting to see that in the pay scale. I think you're starting to see that with the safer defenses that are being played. It's more zoned, Ken. The corners are less challenged than they were even 5 years ago. So yeah, I think wide receiver is more valuable. But if you want to ask me, is Travis Hunter a better corner or wide receiver? I would say he's a better corner as a prospect, at least. And if the Browns get him, and okay, they're going to go 5-12, maybe they go 7-10 to have a good year. I'm not wearing him out like that. Mm-hmm. I would just let him learn corner. And hey, we got a package for him in the 2-minute drill or in goal line. Maybe you throw that in and give him an extra 5 snaps a game or something like that.
Okay. All right. I think that'd be perfectly reasonable. One other thing we have before we get into this is for every receiver, we'll have information on this on draft night, by the way, if you join us for the draft show. And Jason and I each have a show for that. And so you'll probably be on one live with the stream and hopefully listening to the other afterwards as well. But I've got 8 metrics that I've got for every single receiver. I'm going to give you the medians now in all these categories and something about why I picked them. But then when we go through the receivers, I'm only going to give you the highlights and lowlights for each of these guys. We're not going to go into all the numbers. So yards per target is one you hear me talk about all the time on this show. That's the most important stat for a receiver as far as I'm concerned. The median of all the players who had 50-plus targets this year. And so you're talking about a better group of receivers when you limit it to 50-plus targets. So you're getting rid of a couple of guys who had 4, 6, or 12 targets and weren't very good a lot of the time. But the yards per target median was 8.6 among college football 50-plus target guys. The next one is routes per target. And this is how much is the offense funneled through the guy. So you think about it this way. You have 5 eligible receivers, and you would expect the average receiving player, period, by definition, gets 1/5 of the total targets, if all targets are assigned. And I there is some question about that, but I'm not going to get into it in any greater depth. But the average of the 50-plus target guys is 1 target every 4.5 routes. Okay, so it's a little bit more often than 1 every 5 that the 50-plus target guys get targeted. Next one is yards per route run. The median is 1.95. So I think that would be a little higher than in the NFL, but not 100% sure about that. ADOT, so we're trying to, how many, basically that's, it's trying to judge how often does the guy get targeted deep versus shallow. Everybody has a mix of targets from negative yardage to very deep, but this basically gives you one good measure to aggregate that into a single number. Average depth of target, or ADOT. And that was 11.75 yards for the 50-plus target guys. I don't think it'd be nearly that high in the NFL. I think it'd be lower. Yak per reception. So we're looking at when they got the ball, how much were they a threat with the ball in their hands after the catch? 5.3 yards was the median. And we got guys below that. We got guys above that. But 5.3, the median for the 50-plus target guys. contested target percentage. Now, this is an important one to understand the relationship here. You want to have, if you're trying to judge how good a receiver's season was, and you're trying to figure out how good was it in context, a higher contested catch percentage means you cut him more slack in terms of any lack of efficiency. So the higher the contested target percentage they dealt with, all other things being equal about their receiving record, the better it is for the receiver. So 18.7% was the average contested target percentage. And a lot of these 50-plus target guys, they're the bailout guys for the quarterback. There are a lot of wide receivers in there who automatically get the football because they're big, particularly when a weak quarterback needs to get rid of it in a hurry. Next one is drop percentage. 6.5% was the average of these guys. And then the quarterback rating throwing to the guy. Very important. Now, what I'll also have is I'll have how much do they beat the spread by? Because the quarterbacks for that team, I have the quarterback rating in aggregate for that team. And then I have what the quarterback rating was throwing to that receiver. So if you have a crappy quarterback, you're not penalized for this. It's how much did you beat the spread? And in fact, a lot of times it means how much did you beat the other receivers on your team? In terms of the quality of the results. So I'll have all eight of those. I'm not going to mention all eight for every receivers. We'll just go through the highlights and the lowlights as Jason and I go through this. So Jason, how about you start us off with your number 10 guy?
Okay, let's go. My number 10 guy, number 71 on my board, by the way. So just to give you an idea, a third round would be too early, especially, you know, the Ravens position in the wide receiver room, but it's a solid rating. For Jalen Royals, my number 10 receiver from Utah State, 22 years old this year. All my ages, by the way, are guys who what they're going to be in 2025. So I know there can
whether
be
a past or in the future.
Right. Because no matter when you set that date, Ken, they could be 364 days apart. So I just, you know, if you set it on September 1st, somebody could be born on August 31st. Yeah. So I just do age as of 2025. Hope that doesn't mess up your system, though. Sorry about that, hey, he's a productive player, projected to be a day two guy, 21 touchdowns in his last 20 games. So he gets in the end zone. What I love most about Jalen Royals is his initial burst is excellent. And he actually backed that up at the combine, 1.49, 10 yard split. Mm-hmm. So he beat 1.5 seconds, his first 10 yards of his 40. He handled some X duty at Utah State. Was a lot of slants, a lot of goes, a lot of drags. I didn't notice consistent separation from him at that position, which was a little bit of a knock. He's strong and can be a tough tackle. He does a really nice job finding space in zone, and that's something that, especially with Lamar as the quarterback, buying time and facing a lot of zone defense that I put more emphasis on with having Lamar Jackson as our quarterback. He does have a linear style. So he's kind of Duvernay-ish with the hips, but he looks really good at the catch point, the strength at the catch point, the body control, plus in both areas for a wide receiver. He's just a smooth looking player. I think ultimately, Ken, he's a slot to me at 6 foot, 205, because I don't see the oily hips that you would see from a Z receiver. I don't know if he has the size to play X like he did at college, where mm-hmm. he handled some X duty. So Jalen Royals, a fine player, really impressed with him at the catch point and his strength. And of course, his initial burst is excellent. He'll catch you sleeping with that. Number 10 on my list.
All right. Jalen Royals, also my number 10 guy. Exactly. So I'm going to go through and hit up. I had a who he is description for each of these. I should just said for him, prolific receiver, built like a running back, deadly after the catch, but he's got a medical flag for a foot injury that ended his season this last year. 22 in February, as you said, average testing across the board. Although I think a 4.42 40 is good. His other stuff, I don't have any outstanding testing for him. There were no specifics given about his injury. So we don't know if it might've been a Lisfranc, but I don't think he'd have been back running by the combine had it been. So ended his season in week 8, and I just don't know anything more about that. I think that does play very heavily into where he gets drafted. In terms of receiving metrics, shows up very well in terms of yards per target at 10.4. Routes per target, a lot of the Utah State offense was funneled right through him at 3.5 routes per target. His yak per reception was 7.9. That's buoyed by a very high career MTF rate for a wide receiver at 0.264. So that means he gets 26 missed tackles forced per 100 receptions. That's like a running back level. That's very good. A lot of the, I'd say the average receiver level is about maybe about 0.13 to 0.15 in that range. So about twice as much as other receivers. His ADOT is a little bit low at 9.4. If you watch the Utah State games, their entire offense is how do you get the ball to him and let him make a play. And his yards per route run was up towards the top of the class at 3.00. So those are his outstanding metrics. He's a very physical receiver at the catch point, despite those short arms he has. So he's 30 and an eighth inch on the arms. Dangerous after the catch, I mentioned. Very good mix of targets by distance. And that's just a matter of Utah State trying to get him the football wherever they could to let him make plays. And if you just, you look at their offense, I mean, it's built around how do you block for this guy after we get him the ball at point A, point B, point C, point D. I mean, it's the Jalen Royal show in a lot of way. I think the reason I would take him out of the X and put him in the slot is maybe a little different from yours. I don't think he's the best route runner. And one of the things you get from at X receiver, one of the things I want from X receiver is a guy who will make extremely good use of the space budget he gets. Think of it in very general terms, very high level terms. Offense needs space. I think everybody understands that comment. Defense needs to constrict space and deny it to the offense. And one of the big elements of the space budget, think of it as the military portion of the government budget, is that X receiver space budget. So he's got to be a really good receiver who makes the opposing defensive back there, the corner, make mistakes and forces safety help on that side of the field, or he's really not doing his job. If you had an X receiver that only draws man coverage play after play after play, you'd have to move him because he's just not doing enough. Even if he draws the best corner over to his side of the field every time, it's really still not enough. So Jalen Royals, I think he's not quite at the top of the route running group. And I think he goes to the slot in the NFL. I also think it's a better place, either Z or slot, for gadgetry and all the things that he could bring to an NFL offense, which I think is part of what he could do for the Ravens. Now, he had not a good set of quarterbacks at Utah State, not a great one anyway. 89.4 aggregate QBR. His was 100.8 throwing to him. So he beat the spread kind of on how good his quarterbacks were. But quarterbacks threw him six TDs and five of the balls intended for him were intercepted. And one thing I did not go back to do, and I normally try and do this, is go back and check each interception when they occurred, find that play in the game and see, hey, what happened on this place? Did Royals tip the ball up and it
right.
I don't have that for him. Did you notice anything on that, by the way?
No, I did not. I just want to say I think that our description of him, or you know, this is as close as it's going to get. I mean, this is exactly what I saw, Ken. And you know, they needed to get him. You know, I mentioned all the drag routes and the little slant routes. I mean, they wanted to run the offense through him. So, you know, a lot of this is a problem that you have more and more in college. Is you almost penalize these guys when you evaluate them because of what they're asked to do. You know, Torrey Horton out of Colorado State, I watched him run 87 million drag routes. Mm-hmm. Does he have the hips to run routes? Yeah, but he wasn't asked to do it. So you wonder if a guy like Jalen Royals is being punted. Like, that's where the projection, that's where the scouts are going to make their money on him. Do we think he can play Z? Well, geez, he's quick enough. He's big. He's good at but we don't get to see him do it at the college level. They were trying to win games at Utah State.
I don't know if Leanne Curl specifically is involved in this, but I think it's going to be the doctors that decide where Royals is going to be drafted by the Ravens. I think he's a round two, round three, round four talent. Probably round two talent, rather, who drops to round three or round four based on the medical situation. So I think it could be a mild drop. It could be somebody says, no big deal. He's back. What are you talking about? He ran 4.42. It should be a problem. And they might be right. And somebody probably among 32 teams is going to say, that's fine. The Ravens are not as cavalier as that. So they're going to take more time and look at it. I trust them to ask the correct medical questions and determine if it makes sense at either 59 or 91 to draft him. He's not a great needs fit if he's moving to the slot, because the Ravens, of course, have big slot tight ends that they play there, as we mentioned earlier. And there's just less opportunity for that. But in a fresh legs offense, you can find a lot worse options than Jalen Royals to get him on the field to fill that gadget role that we always complain about Zay Flowers filling. Zay Flowers got to be drawing safety attention deep as often as you possibly can.
That's right. No, I'm with you. Exactly. I feel like our evaluations of him are spot on, Ken, or exactly they match.
All right. Well, fair. That's great. And we both have the same number 10 guy. So we'll move on to number 9.
All right. I'm seeing if we match on this one too. I have Jack Besh out of TCU. I think some people may be higher on him. He was basically the Z receiver. He was their Zay Flowers. Savion Williams, who also get drafted, was their X. But he's tough to bring down, will break tackles, easy hand-eye coordination, great Senior Bowl week, capped with a great game-winning touchdown there. He was cooking people in the one-on-one drills. There's an unpredictable pace to his routes. He's one of those old-school type, like, can deke you out route runners with an easy change of direction for him being 6'1", 214. His brother was killed in the New Orleans terrorist attack down there. And, shortly after he went to the Senior Bowl and had that week. So you talk about if that means anything to you, the perseverance, the strength, and the football is his sanctuary type, love the game type guy. You would have to give that in his credit. He's a zone beater. I think his best quality, Ken, is his ability to find space in zone. He is just really, really good at it. So if they're going in the quarters defense against you, you line him up at Z or you line him up at X, he will find that space in between the linebackers, either on, right at level two or in between level two and level three, and eat those kind of targets for breakfast. Again, I think that in itself is a really good match for Lamar. And one more note, I would say his catch radius is not as good as you'd expect for how much his size shows up on tape. Hmm. And what I mean by that is when you see him with the ball in his hands, he's a big dude. He can break tackles. He uses his size well to shield off defenders when you're talking about zone being a zone beater. But when I see him trying to contort his body downfield, some of these, I'm interested to see if contested catches, where he ranks there with your numbers, because I didn't see a big contested catch guy for a 6'1 receiver. So that's the thing that kept holding me back on Jack Besh. I think there's a lot of things that he does really well, a lot of things that would match this offense really well. He's got the size. His hands look good to me in the games that I saw. 6'1", 214. I have him as wide receiver 9 and number 65 on my board. So again, other teams, he'll probably go in the second round. But for me, with the Ravens' other needs and his profile, I would like him in the third, which is not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not sure that wouldn't happen. Besh is number 12 on my list. I liked him too for a lot of reasons, and I did really credit his catch radius. I got some numbers to back that up in a little bit of ways. But athletic outside receiver, outstanding on contested balls. We'll get to that in a minute. A tick short on long speed at 455. That's an other, John Other timed that, so we have to look at that with a jaundiced eye. He has a plus athletic profile overall, but his receiving metrics are where he really looks great. Yards per target of 11.4 is terrific. Yards per route run of 2.44 was very good. The drop percentage of 1.6. So we talk about catch radius. That's one of the things you talk about. And a quarterback rating of 130 throwing the ball to him. Now the TCU quarterbacks was good. Mostly it was Josh Hoover, and they had a 102.7 overall passer rating for the TCU quarterback. So he beat the spread by a ton. So that was very positive. Contested targets, you mentioned earlier, 22% contested targets, which is slightly above average. 18.7 is average. I don't consider 22% to be far out of the range. He caught 13 out of 20 contested balls, so that's pretty good. Usually I'd say 50 to 55%, low 50s is probably what I want to see from a pretty good wide receiver on contested balls, but he also had a lot of them. So it's clear that Hoover was depending on him to be the bailout guy on some of these. So it was one of the nice things I had to say about it was he did have a big catch radius. I thought he went down well on the ball. There are two guys this draft who really go down to get the ball well. There's more than that, but there's two that really stood out to me on tape. And one of them is in my honorable mention group. I thought his hands go up pretty late down the field, which is improving his chance on contested balls some. Tracks the ball well in the air. And I think the other thing, you kind of are getting at this in terms of him not maybe being an X, he plays more like a tight end, I think, than an X receiver in terms of his comfort with traffic. So he lines up almost exclusively wide right, first of all, if you look at the tape. And I thought that may be just a favorite shoulder thing.
He played Z to Savion Williams, though, the X.
Oh, that's right, of course.
Savion Williams is a prototypical X. So I didn't take anything away from Besh on that. But Besh is your crafty guy who really knows how to set up the routes. And Savion is more of your physical beast, especially at the college level.
Yeah. Savion had a very interesting prospect. I'm sure we're going to get to him later. But Besh also had a really good missed tackle forced rate at 0.27 that led to a small plus in yak, but not a big plus in yak. So my problem with him is, and the reason why I've got him all the way down at 12 is I have a Ravens centric list. So it's for the Ravens. And I think the Ravens would like to get him in round 3 or even round 4 to get real value on him. If he drops to day 3, it'd be an enormous value. If they got him at 91, he'd be a value to the rest of the league. I don't know that the Ravens get value out of him. The Ravens probably have a par pick on him at number 91. But I think the overlap with the tight ends reduces his value. And Besh is one of the guys that if he gets drafted, it might well be part of a 2026 11 personnel project more than it's a 2025 move. So anyway, I liked him. He's near the top of my honorable mentions.
Agreed. I like the contested catches. What I would say, what I noticed is when he is boxing someone out, awesome. I think when it comes to sideline agility, that's what bothered me.
Okay.
Getting your toes down, you know what I mean? Getting a hand, like he can make any kind of catch. His hands are really, really good. He shows the ability to make the circus catch. But I wonder, you know, so with some of the stats, somebody coming over his, you know, through his back when he's trying to make a catch. Excellent. Strong dude. Mm-hmm. But some of this like toe tap stuff, that kind of turned me off and made me think like you, Ken, he might be an over the middle type slot guy.
If you're looking for a better way to unwind, focus, or even get a good night's sleep, listen up. Let me tell you about Mood, the online cannabis company that's changing the game when it comes to functional gummies. They've crafted a whole line up of federally legal THC blends designed to help with everything from stress to sleep to mental clarity and even some spicier needs if you're into that. Now, what makes Mood different? They go beyond just THC. They pair it with herbs and adaptogens to create targeted effects that you won't find in any other dispensary. And every gummy is made with pesticide-free, small farm American cannabis. So you're getting quality that you can trust. I've tried their sleep gummies. And let me tell you, takes about 15 minutes and I'm out cold, no grogginess, no weird side effects, getting some of the best sleep I've gotten in my life when I take one of these gummies. And if you need a mood boost, there are Epic Euphoria gummies, game changers. And right now, Mood is giving listeners 20% off their first order by using the promo code RAVENS at checkout. So head on over to mood.com, find the perfect gummy for whatever life throws your way, and don't forget to use the promo code RAVENS to save 20%.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano. Or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on. I got my number 9 guy. That's Jalen Noel of Iowa State. Both Iowa State receivers, like both TCU receivers, are probably going to be mentioned tonight. He is the slot complement to Jaden Higgins. They got a Jalen and a Jaden, and there's several Jalens in this draft, and they seem to all spell their name differently. But the Iowa State guys are both very good. Jalen Noel is 5'10", 194, 439, 40, 29.5-inch arms, being the big negative of his physical makeup there. He's one of the most athletic wide receivers in the entire draft. His receiving metrics are good for the most part. Yards per target was 10.0, yards per route run 2.62, and his quarterback rating throwing to him was 111.8. Now, Becht and the other Iowa State quarterbacks, despite having two guys on our near the top of our wide receiver list, only had a 91.3 quarterback rating between them. So 111.8 for him was a good spread beat on his quarterback rating thrown to. 53 career punt returns, 37 career kickoff returns. By the way, that's a big thing that the Ravens probably would like to get out of their sixth wide receiver, is a guy who has special teams return value. With all of the things that went wrong last year, they don't want to carry a specialist in that way. They want it to be one of their guys who's currently on the roster. So, if Justice Hill were suddenly to start returning punts, it wouldn't be the strangest thing. If Keaton Mitchell spent a lot of time this offseason trying to figure out how to return punts, that wouldn't even be such a shocker. But I think the most likely guys to do it are Tylan Wallace and whoever they get as the sixth wide receiver. So we'll see how that works out. I think that Jalen Noel, a guy who tries hard, but he's a run blocker who's limited by his size. And I think that's going to be a problem at the NFL level with that kind of length. In terms of receiving, he's one of the biggest deep threats among the potential slot receivers here. He had 14 of 23 targets caught for 609 yards. Now think about that. 23 targets, 609 yards on deep throws of 20 plus yards. with 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, and 140.4 quarterback rating. Oftentimes, you end up with something like 2 out of 9 or, you know, 3 out of 13 complete on those long routes. Noel was completing a high percentage of that. He's not really a gadget guy, which is surprising given his size. Now, that doesn't mean he couldn't become that guy, but he had only a handful of total targets behind the line of scrimmage in 2024. So it's something that the Ravens, I'm sure they'll look to get whatever value they can find there, but he's not necessarily a guy you use on jet tosses and whatnot. Had a somewhat poor yak per reception, and is also mediocre for his career. And the reason is fairly obvious. He had 3 missed tackles forced on 80 receptions. And that was a terrible, terrible total. His career missed tackles force per reception is 0.09, which is, you know, it's a third or a fourth of some of the highest guys in the class here. So that's a problem. I thought he had pretty good wiggle at the top of the stem, but he wins primarily with suddenness at his speed. He's more like Zay Flowers in terms of stick his foot in the ground and go, rather than these big-bodied guys who are 6'3", 6'4", and they really have to sit in the chair to decelerate at the top of the stem. And no matter what you do, as soon as you drop your hips, you're doing 2 things to that defensive back. You're keying him in on what you're doing, and you're also taking more time to decelerate to make your break, both of those things. And so it makes it easier for that cornerback to follow you out of the break. And this is a guy who doesn't give it away. He's a lot like Zay in terms of not having to do as much to get low to stop and sit in the chair, as I said, and give it away. So the other thing I'd say is ideal extended play receiver for Lamar. He'd be fantastic in that role. So I was excited by that. I think he'd be a good addition, but again, the flex tight ends fighting him for playing times, he'd probably have to expand his gadgetry to become really valuable to the Ravens. I'm sure they'd get what they could out of him. And he might struggle in an offense that has fewer on-time throws. So his suddenness wouldn't be paid off immediately. We've already seen Bateman in a way struggle with that because he doesn't get despite getting pretty good separation metrics, he doesn't get the throws coming right out of his break because that's just not the way Lamar operates. Lamar is much more of, I'll hold the ball, I'll wait until I see a really good opportunity, and doesn't lend itself to those great moves at the top of the stem. I think he'd be okay value to the Ravens at 91, great value in round 4, and my number 9 guy overall.
Okay, so my evaluation of him is very, very similar. Let me just go over my notes here. Proved that he was super productive. You know, he ran a 4.39, 80 catches, almost 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns. Super smooth in the field drills at the combine. I wrote down he's a natural. 41.5-inch vert, 11.2 rod. And he did 21 reps, a little guy at 194, 21 reps at the bench, even with the short arms for a guy benching more than his weight, brother. Like 21 reps from a little guy like that is excellent. I said excellent ball tracking and adjustments downfield for a slot profile. That stands out with Jalen. And by the way, his last name is pronounced Noel. It's not Noel, despite the way it's spelled, just for like your draft coverage and stuff like that. But yeah, Jalen Noel. Excellent ball tracking and downfield adjustments for a slot. Flashing easy hands on some tough chances. He's also inconsistent drops were reported, so I'm interested to see what his drop percentage was. He brings that kick and punt return value. Super quick. His stop start is incredible. He's a sudden mover with the 4.39 long speed. He was working primarily the slot at Iowa State. I want to see him improve a little bit in settling in zone, which goes to your point of, you know, the extended plays with Lamar. But I actually think he's a good fit. Like where we disagree on him is I think he's a very good fit. I have him up at wide receiver 6. And the reason is, Ken, we don't have a wide receiver like this on our team. And I do see been thinking a lot about, like I said earlier, about the – you know, are we going to move away more from the 12 and go more to 11? And to me, next year, when you're talking about somebody who can take a little bit of Zay's role, but also be a pure slot, like this guy has slot experience. This isn't taking Zay Flowers, who's played Z his entire career at Boston College, and asking him to take some slot. Like this guy is used to working the middle. He's used to taking the contact and then the punt to be able to return punts and kicks for us too. So we can put a field and not have a slower slot, a bigger slot. We could put on the field Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, and this little lightning bolt, who, by the way, it's 5'10", 194. So he's a ball of muscle. But yeah, the pure receiver that he is what really separated him, because there's a lot of smaller, quicker, pure slot guys. But you're talking about downfield, his body control, and just a natural wide receiver abilities, how smooth he was at that combine, watching him go through the drills. Like, he stood out. Like, if you were picking, like we've probably done, if you coach kids, they have that little hour workout and then you pick teams, you would say, yes, Jalen Noll, that's the guy I want. He will be 23 years old, so he's a little bit older. But yes, I have him at wide receiver 6, and I gave him a true second round grade. He's, you know, sticking to my formula. He is somebody that I'd see as a starter in this league, a starting slot.
Starting slot year one.
You're right. He could start in a slot year one for, you know, most of the teams in the league, and have a chance to be a plus starter there. So you think about your round two picks. They're not going to be Pro Bowlers. You don't profile them to be that. Maybe some have more upside than others, but you're looking to get a starter out of there. And I think that Jalen Noll qualifies for that. Like I said, I have him all the way up at 43 on my board because I think the fit here in Baltimore would be great. We do not have a Jalen Noll on this team, and I would love to have one. He could be your punt returner, kick returner this year. He could be active on game days. And if you want to go for a smaller, quicker look, he gives you something that only Zay Flowers gives you. So on the other person on this offense, he could be Zay's quote-unquote backup if you really asked him to be.
Right. Well, I almost hope they wouldn't use them as just fresh legs for Zay. I mean, I like the idea of having three of these guys on the field who can run vertical routes at the same time. I mean, that's a really exceptional group of three guys. So, fighting the tight ends is probably a secondary problem if you get a player like Noll and you can use him next year at a minimum. Meaning in 26 at a minimum to get a much more expanded role. All right, so we're up to your number 8 guy.
Okay, you know, I feel like I'm lower on this guy than most, and I'm kind of interested to see where you have him. He's projected like a second round guy. I always see him in the second, maybe the third, but it's Trey Harris of Mississippi. He will also be 23 years old, and he is the opposite type of receiver than Jalen Noll. We're talking 6'2", 205, 31, almost 32-inch arms, runs a 4.5. He's, you know, Ken, he suffered a lot from the tape the same way we talked about Jalen Royals. I mean, I watched darn near every target of Trey Harris's, and it's either a stop route, you know, your hooks, curls, hitches, whatever, and the occasional deep ball. I mean, his route tree consisted basically of two routes. We did not just get to see him on digs. We didn't get to see him on out routes. We didn't get to see him. It was just gadget touch after gadget touch after gadget touch. It's a go ball or go 5 yards out there and turn around like you would in a, you know, kid coaching kids in flag football. Let me just say,
I have almost the exact same line there, is combines hitch with verticals as two-way threat to CBs at top of stem. That's not a bad thing in my mind, by the way.
No, it's not. It's just I would love as an evaluator to see him try to do something else. And right. I'll throw him the smoke screens too, you know what I mean, to get the big, you know, big guy body. But he's a powerful runner. Reportedly, he battled a groin injury this year, which makes his tape more impressive. It's a very boring tape, but he has NFL size. I don't know what his role would be. I can't sit here and say, hey, this guy can play X for you. Hey, this guy can play Z for you. To me, it's like, I can't quite get there. If you think he can, I'm not going to disagree with you or fight you on it. But for me, from what I've seen, and I tried to go back and look at his 2023 tape a little bit, I didn't see much difference. It was the same type of usage. I'm looking at him as a big slot, and for that reason, I got him at number 8.
Okay. I also have him at number 8. I really like the guy. I got to tell you this. I really like the guy. Prolific receiver who lost much of 2024 to a groin injury. That's prolific college X receiver. 6'2", 205. The 454 is the issue. That's going to scare a lot of teams off. He had very good jumps, so the explosiveness is good, but he really doesn't have that ideal Ferrari acceleration, kind of a slow 0-60.
It's the start, right. It's the start is slow. Sorry, Ken. Yeah.
Yeah. Piled up an outstanding season on a per target basis. I want to go through some of this. Now there is a big asterisk that comes with this, but in terms of metrics, yards per target was 13.6, routes per target 2.6 routes per target. That's just, ridiculously often. Yards per route run was the highest in all of college football at 5.12. 5.12 yards per route run. There is a big asterisk. ADOT was 12.0. That's a little bit high. Yak per reception was 7.7. That's good as well. Contested target percentage. We don't get into that. Quarterback rating throwing to him, 149.5. Okay, 158.3 is the maximum. Now, here's the big asterisk that comes with this. He got injured, and then he tried to return in week 13, re-aggravated, had to be shut down. So he actually injured his groin in week 7. So the teams they played in the early season is a lot of their weaker out-of-conference schedule. And I had the teams like posted down here. Yeah, they played 4 SEC games, but it was a lot of their weaker schedule in the early season that they played that he really racked up a lot of this against. But what's also incredible is that he played just a portion of a season, 8 games in total, got 76 targets and caught 60 of them. So it's pretty freaking remarkable when you're down to it. Focal point of the Ole Miss offense. Now, Jackson Dart had another target, but he was at 2.6 routes per target. He was really still the focal point. Tracks the ball, I thought, exceptionally well down the field. Good sit-down ability of a tight end in zone, and ability to box out, I thought, with his body. His body's big. It's not quite tight end size, of course, but I thought he was able to do that well. 1,030 yards in 8 games. What else to say about this? He said the hitch of the thing. I think he's one of the better run blocking wide receivers in the class. I think he's done that maybe with good coaching, but I think all college wide receivers tend to be a little lazier than they will be at the NFL or certainly playing for the Ravens. So I think there is still some juice to be squeezed from this orange of run blocking from Trey Harris. He'd be a backup X to Bateman. Possibly Tez Walker would be in there with him as well, who could take over a good share of run blocking snaps when the offense maintains fresh legs. So Tylan Wallace got a lot of run blocking snaps last year and got a lot of receiving snaps too, for that matter, but he got a lot of run blocking snaps. And he's a guy who can handle that responsibility, I believe. And they really got to get into the interview process with him because he's been so prolific in college that I hope he's not a diva and a guy that is going to be a problem when the receptions dry up with a team like the Ravens. If he comes to the Ravens, I mean, his routes per target aren't going to be 2.6 anymore, nowhere near it. And he's also not going to have the number of targets per game that's anything like what he had at Mississippi State either, with fewer total pass plays. So 59 to me is too early for him. A lot of other players like him will be of real value at 91, I'd be very excited if the Ravens got him at 91. He's one of the guys I'll be looking at in the second half of day 3 to be hoping they'll fall in that third round.
I mean, for that to happen, Ken, a lot of guys that we're not mentioning tonight are going to have to go, because you're talking about 10 receivers. That's usually a good two rounds. What I mean? Yeah, so. I have him at 53rd overall on my board, that's a good number. I just seen other people, I think, have him elevated above where we have him, where I feel like I'm lower on him. But if for those listening, me and Ken are saying about the same things about the guy. I do, you mentioned something I didn't bring up. He tracks it real nice down the field, and his size shows up there. So you're talking about, he runs a 4.54. I can't trust him on the deep ball. Nah, you trust that guy on the deep ball. Let the 40 fool you on that. He can get position, muscle you up, and track it down the field and use those long arms. It kind of makes it a harder evaluation when he's only running 3 routes. I can't comfortably say he could play X, but I bet you a lot of teams around the league think he is, and will draft him to do so. And I think that might cause him to go middle of the second, can like surprise us.
What's your minimum set of routes an X needs to run? Because Bateman is really exceptional in that way. Most of the X receivers drafted don't have 6 or 7 routes from the tree that they run effectively. So what's your minimum number? You got to be able to have complementary routes. I'm going to start with. What else do you want to see?
Sorry, I was waiting for the thing to go off over there. No, I want them to be able to run routes at all three levels for an X receiver. So, you know, he's got to be able to run the go ball, the go ball or the deep overs, which you don't usually see a lot of from the X. That's usually on the Z spot. But I want them to see some outbreakers at level two, to run those deep hitches or, deep outs. And I want them to be able to, obviously win on the stuff that most people win on, which is your slants and stop routes and stuff like that. So, yeah, it just depends. Like, Wallace held down the X for us a little bit last year, and it wasn't as pretty, but he was a blocker and got it done in his own way.
I think, one of the things that the Ravens don't do is use their X receiver to run a lot of comeback routes. And some team is going to really value Harris for that. Yeah, and unfortunately, you're probably right. He goes in round two, and the Ravens don't have a chance at him at 91, much less, at 59, much less 91. All right. So we both had him at number eight. So we're to your number seven guy, and I think we got time for this one, and then we'll cut it off and go to part two.
Hey, we're cooking, man. We're cooking. So number seven guy, I have him and Jalen Knoll pretty much neck and neck on my board, and that's Kyle Williams from Washington State. I don't know what it is about this guy, Ken, but I kind of love him. I hope you're smiling because you love him too.
I'm smiling because we got another exact match on the position.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of rare, man. 70 catches, 1,200 yards, basically 14 touchdowns. He runs a 4.4. He's 5'11", 190. Really nice week at the Senior Bowl again. I think he made himself money there. He is a fifth-year senior, so that's something to keep in mind. But he's running past guys. He's changing angles on even like gadget touches. He's changing angles and cashing in on some deep passes. He's able to turn, make a move, and fly upfield. That's his special power, superpower, something that I think he's a plus player at the NFL level. You throw him something short, the way he's able to seamlessly turn and get upfield quickly is something special to watch. I do wonder if he would get pressed against if NFL DBs press him. But again, with Lamar, you don't see a ton of press coverage. So I think he's a really good match for the Ravens. He's not undersized. He reminds me of Devin Duvernay a little bit as far as a Ravens comp, but he tracks the ball much, much better, and his hips are much, much better. So those are two big exceptions. But like when you see him play, when you see him with the ball in his hands, imagine a Duvernay kick return where he turns the corner and is just outrunning people. That's what you see from Kyle Williams of Washington State. Ken, I think the sky is the limit for him. I think his upside is really, really high. I've seen him drop people as like third round and that kind of thing. I don't see it, man. Like I have him all the way up at number 45 on my board. And, if it came down to it and the Ravens surprised me and took him one with their second round pick, I'd be like, maybe I can get with this. Cause I just have that personal bias of the I like him factor. He's an angle changer, Ken. He is an angle changer. It's that kind of speed that the 40, he ran a 4.4 flat. To me, his play speed would have told me that he's a 4.2 guy.
Yeah. He's more stubborn than that.
Yeah. That's the kind of play speed as you see on tape where guys are taking pretty good looking angles, pretty safe looking angles, and they're still left in the dust. Just an impressive player. That's Kyle Williams, Washington State.
Yeah. Loved him also. Same exact position at number seven. This is really freaky. This has happened before at the top of the list where like Crawford and I once had the same 5-1 corners. I've never seen it happen at the bottom of the list and all the other
Ken, especially with me and you, bro, we usually disagree on something.
Sure. And I thought you'd have, two, three new names for me. I've never heard of. And I mean, even with Coach DC and doing the corners, my number 10 guy was somebody he hadn't even looked at. And he had guys in the top 10 that, we disagreed on. This is really unusual. But anyway, Kyle Williams, also minus seven guy to go through this, can line up all over. He's a college X and is one of the best deep threats in the class. We'll get to that in a minute. His testing is average other than the 440. That's okay. He doesn't look average athletically on tape. I completely agree with you there. In terms of receiving metrics, he's outstanding. Yards per target at 11.8 was up near the top of the class. Yards per route run of 2.71 was well over average. Yak per reception, And this is a lot of this was, you know, getting him the foot guard, finding out what he could do in space. It's really on the shorter passes. Yak per reception was 8.4. I'll get to that in a minute. QB rating throwing to him, 132.3. Now, the Washington QBs were good. Mateer and others were 112.1 in aggregate. So still beat the spread by a good percentage. One of the best QB ratings in the class throwing it to him. No punt return experience. We can deal without that. But he might be a guy who starts lining up in camp and they're seeing what he can do in terms of tracking the ball. In terms of his receiving, there's a few things that really stood out to me. He's a huge threat after the catch based on depth and elusiveness. Now, I'll say this. The based on depth means he really didn't do it on the long ball. I'll get to that in a second. But his missed tackles forced were 0.30 in 24 and 0.23 career, both good numbers, well above average for a wide receiver, probably double the normal rate in 24. He caught 14 of 24 balls thrown 20-plus yards for 454 yards. So almost 20 yards per catch. That's interesting. Yeah, almost 20 yards per catch, right? 14 for 454. So over 30 yards per reception, but almost 20 yards per target. And only 71 of those 454 yards were yak. So think about that. He only had 5 yak per reception on the 14 deep balls he caught. That's very unusual because you'd catch some balls behind the defense and you'd take them to the house and usually only have one man to beat there. Whereas on shorter throws, you often have more trouble piling up yak. And there's a sweet spot for that. But in particular, throws between 0 and 10 yards, which are kind of plays where there could be a quick trigger from the defensive player, are the worst yak plays. But long balls, I'd expect to have one. Really did not contribute much at all to his yak. His yak overall of 8.4 per reception was on other throws. And you could see it. It's all over these shorter throws to him, is him being elusive, breaking tackles, at the first level and the second level a lot.
Yeah, that brings me back to the Duvernay thing. Yeah. Like the number of times that Duvernay would reverse field and outrun everybody on the other side. That's why I say, like, I don't want people to confuse, like, okay, well, Duvernay can't track the ball. Duvernay is a tight athlete. It's that pure burst and speed that catches you by surprise for a man with his body type.
So it's one positive quality as opposed to you're trying to make him into a
yes. unit,
which would be a disservice to this guy. I mean, he's a better player.
He's a yak guy. I could see him returning punts. I really could. I'm not sure if he's comfortable with it, or maybe in college he was so big part of their offense that they didn't want to do it, or maybe there's some other stuff there. But
I did have a couple of things that stood out otherwise. One was really outstanding focus when the ball was tipped by the defender. And he'll hauling it in anyway. So there were plays where he got reached in on, balls up in the air. Oh, there it is. And he pulls it right back in. Better than I've seen from any other receiver in this class. I'm not saying it was a huge number of plays, but it definitely is something that really catches your eye when it happens. Cause you think a PD has just been generated and no, it hasn't all of a sudden. The other thing was that he really dropped in class in 2024. So, 132 rating, and Washington State was 112 overall. Washington State also was playing in a two-team Pac-12 where they effectively played a Mountain West schedule. Mm-hmm. So they're playing against much non-Power 5 opponents, if you want to call that. Non-Power 4 opponents, we really have to call them now. But big playability whenever he got a touch. Much more yak on the shorter throws, I think. The reasonable chance to draft, and the only reasonable chance the Ravens will have, is at 59. If they don't get him there, I'm sure somebody else gets him before 91. The logical reason I could see is the realignment to 11 personnel in 26. I don't think he otherwise is ideal for the Ravens' needs, particularly when you consider their needs at other positions, in terms of what he has to give up in terms of snaps. It's just very difficult to have three true wide receivers on a team like the Ravens, that the targets are reduced by Jackson's productivity personally. The targets are reduced by the Ravens' quality of play and game script they create, creating more run opportunities later in the game. And it could be very frustrating, I think, to him personally. And it's something, whoever the Ravens draft at the wide receiver position, I want them to be careful about that particular thing.
Sure. And, you know, to me, it's less about the future fit. I think that's okay. It's less about the fit for this year. It's more about the opportunity to get better in other rooms.
Okay.
Like, we need a corner. We need D-line depth. This is a good – we could probably grab a nice corner in the second round. We could probably grab a nice edge. If we didn't get a guard, maybe this is the last call for a guard, or Xavier Watts is there at safety. You know, there's just a lot of other players to where wide receiver almost seems like a luxury with the tight ends and the talent we have at wide receiver already. But again, I kind of have a wry smile on my face because he's, you know, Kyle Williams and a couple other of these guys are the type of guys that are going to be could be commanding 30 some million in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you can get that kind of $30 million production in year 3 and 4 for nothing, well, not nothing, but you get what I'm saying, on a rookie contract, yeah, that would kind of make it worth it. So that's it's more about the opportunity to get better elsewhere in a year we're trying to win the whole thing for me, Ken.
What you're talking about right there in terms of play value relative to cap cost is exactly the right argument. It's exactly the right argument for taking a wide receiver in this draft in a high round. It's the argument that I get kind of frustrated with PFF about, because they basically, their shows, and I think it's Monson and who's the other guy, Sam Palazzolo, when they do their shows, they're always, you know, saying, oh my God, there's wide receivers on the board. Why are they going out and taking a safety kind of thing? It might be a slight overvaluation, but I think that's where the NFL is right now. You got to find a way to get wide receiver value through the draft, because it is too freaking expensive to get it via free agency.
That's right. You're either going to have to pay them or draft them, Ken.
Yeah.
And we saw that on the offensive line. The Ravens have the cheapest offensive line. People are making videos. Oh, how cheap are the Ravens? Well, bro, we got Ronnie Stanley, Tyler Linderbaum, and Roger Rosengarten. That's how we addressed it, through the draft. So yeah, Ken, I don't want to derail your show there again, buddy. But yeah,
you're doing great, and we're done in record time for you and me to get to the midway point in an hour is really good. First of all, really appreciate the discussion. Always great talking to you, Jason. But tell folks where they can find your work online.
Sure, it's Huddle It Up Films on YouTube and Twitter X, and my big board is there. So, Ken, did you have a big board? And you're making a list and stuff like that.
I have a big board that will be up at least by draft night, but I'm making a list. Yes, that's coming out in these 11 shows.
Awesome, man. So feel free to use mine. Look at mine. Look at Ken's. It's up there as a resource, and you know, Ken will tell you I have, you know, different color codes and designations on these guys, whether it be injuries or my personal favorites, to just try to make it as easy to read as possible. And, you know, I'll be doing my thing on draft day. I do miss Ken, but I have a lot of people asking me. I'm very proud of, you know, my following over there on Huddle It Up Films too. So love being here with you. And I really appreciate the time.
Always a blast, Jason. Always fun. Other folks out there, Jason will have a draft night show, and you might be watching his. I hope you'll be spending some time on mine as well. It's a similar format in terms of what Jason has. I know he looks at a big board from time to time. We do a lot of collaborative work with the stream, color coding things, and like, okay, here's the 7 players I could see with the Ravens next pick. And as you get closer and closer, you realize, hey, you're going to get one of those 7 or have an opportunity to take one of those 7, and you get all excited about it. And then we have some people in the stream who are really eager. Sometimes I just invite them right out of the stream to come on and be a panelist, because they're nice. So good on that. But even when they're not doing that, they'll give me, okay, here's 3 names I like in this next round, and we'll just highlight them in a different. So it's a collaborative spreadsheet approach towards looking at who still is available and where to go forward.
Ken, I wanted to also mention, I just got finished recording my 4th draft show. Mm-hmm. That's on my YouTube as well. And what you said just reminded me of it. The live chats and the comments that I'll go and get to after we're done here have been awesome. To like this past show, we said, what type of wide receiver, for example, do you want? We're choosing a day 3 guy. Do you want somebody who can separate? Do you want somebody who can give you a yak? Do you want somebody who's strong at the catch point? Do you want somebody who can settle in zone? And asked our viewers out there, and I had Alec one with me, to pick 2 of those. You're only allowed to pick 2, Ken, because we're talking day 3. They can't do everything.
What? I want everything, yeah.
right. So I just wanted to plug my draft shows. I've done 4 of them now too as well. So sorry if I forgot to do that.
All right. Appreciate it. And you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't look at Jason's draft material either then or on draft night. You got a big board out there published somewhere, I'm sure, on Huddle Up Films, right?
That's right. On Twitter too, or X.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us for this show, folks. And we'll hope to see you at some point on draft night. Jason, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.